Father, as always, I thank you because the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. We ask that that light will shine in our hearts this morning, giving us grace, understanding, and giving us revelation knowledge. And let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Give you, Lord, praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I pray that the Lord will anoint our eyes this morning. Give of that true eyes all. Open our ears to hear his voice. Incline our hearts to listen to his word in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, let me get right to it. Today's lesson is going to be on self-righteousness and modern day Pharisees. Yesterday, we started this, what I think is might be a 3-day series. And we dealt with sin consciousness and need consciousness. A quick summary there before we go to this. This is so important because as long as we have the consciousness of sin, then that's going to keep us back from experiencing the true nature of God. Which is, and why should we shed that? We should not go back after the Lord has cleansed us. You know, that is so important. You know, Bible says we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us for our sins. That's one part. But more importantly, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Jesus said unto them, you know, he that is washed is clean. Glory to God. You know, you are clean, he said to them. Well, they were not all clean, he said, because there was one, you know, deceiver among them. But nonetheless, you know, you are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. And as long as we are clean, we remain in the light, then there is no condemnation. Because we are not seeking after the things of the flesh anymore. Furthermore, you know, don't put yourself down or let somebody else put you down. You know, the Lord says that, you know, he has called you by his own name. And for his own sake, he has blotted out your transgressions and removed them as far, you know, from you as the east is from the west. So we thank God for the new nature. You know, that's what we are trying to do. I'm going to read to you today a prophetic utterance from Brother Neil Frisby before I get into this part of the lesson. So important. You should hear this. Taken out of the Book of Letters to the Saints, page 40. The old Book of Letters to the page. I mean to the Saints, page 40. We are entering into an hour of absolute urgency. God will give us guidance through the scriptures, but he will also reveal his plans through divine providence and various gifts of the Spirit. Supernatural leading shall occur through a word of knowledge, wisdom, prophecy, vision, or dreams. A heavy anointing generally accompanies it. This is the hour of full restoration. So be ready. His eye is on those who are watching. The elect will be called into position by his Spirit. Just like he positioned the creation so that it walks in unison. Like the vault of the heavens, in its majestic aura, twinkling radiances of light, stars in obedience. that true gifts will come more into prominence again among his elect. But this time, they will abide more in his word concerning all things. God's next move is to bring his bride into razor sharpness, perfecting them in the mysteries of and in his mysteries and spirit. We are at the time wherein Paul wrote, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus in Philippians 3:14. Now, I read that to say this, because what the Lord is doing for us on this platform is bringing us into that razor sharpness and perfecting us in his spirit. And that's what the Lord is doing. Pressing us, you heard me say that from time to time, pressing us into more razor sharpness, you know, pressing us into shape, cutting out the excesses and things that do not, you know, belong or reflect his image, pruning us, pressing us. You got to do that wine press, you know, through the grapes before the wine can come out. You know, sometimes also, you know, the Lord, I mean, remember, the word of God is a sharp, even sharper than two-edged sword. Sometimes it cuts, but it will also heal. Glory to God. You know, so that's the reason the Lord's bringing these things, you know, pressing us into razor sharpness. Glory to God. You know, so all the things that we are learning, you know, about sin consciousness, which entered into the world from the day they ate of the fruit of knowledge of good and evil, which they were told not to eat, commanded even not to eat thereof. You know, now they got a mixture in there, a mixture of good, a mixture of evil. It's not all evil. It's a, you know, Jesus gave a parable of, he said, kingdom of heaven is like a woman that took one measure of leaven and hid it in three measures of meal and mixed it up until it was all mixed up. Now, leaven is never anything good. You know, so I've heard people try to interpret that parable in an incorrect way. No, that leaven is nothing good at all. But, you know, the tactic, the strategy of the devil is to hide what's leaven among the true wheat. Mix it all up until it is all mixed up. You know, he's not going to make just leaven, and he's not going to serve something from a bottle that says poison and leaves the poison right there in front of anybody, because nobody's going to fall for that. So he's going to serve what looks like a delicious meal, but just put a little poison inside of it, mix it all up to the undiscerning. You know, so when we don't discern and do not have our spiritual antennas up, our senses exercised, you know, then we might fall prey to some of these things. And the devil has been doing it for a long time. And so part of today's lesson is geared towards discernment and understanding what the Lord is showing us. Also, for us, you know, to identify this characteristic and behavior and to purge ourselves of it. Make sure we're not part of it. Scripture says, purge out therefore the old leaven, because you are a new lump you know, get rid of that, all that leaven of unrighteousness, the leaven of the Pharisees. Jesus warned, said, beware of the level of the Pharisee, leaven of the Pharisees. And when he said that, you know, they didn't even understand what he was talking about. They thought he was talking about something else. And Jesus said, look, I'm not talking about bread, because they had not taken bread on that particular trip. So they thought that's what he was talking about. He said, I'm not talking about that. Don't you remember, you know, what I did among the 4,000 or 7,000 or this and that? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. So let me start here by reading Matthew chapter 13, just one verse. And I love these parables. You know, in this particular chapter, there are many different aspects of the parables that he brings out. Not all the parable that Jesus talks about concerning the kingdom of heaven, you know, indicates good things. Some of it is bad. You know, like this one in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 33. And another parable he spake unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. And Jesus didn't explain it. He just left it like that. Some parables he would explain. Some he doesn't explain. He just put it out there. This one he didn't explain, but he put it out there. But let nobody think that this was a good thing. You know, because leaven is never a good thing. You know, he also talked about the kingdom of heaven. You know, it's like, you know, a small seed, right, that is sown, and which when it grows, like a mustard seed, and when it grows, it is the greatest among all herbs. In the same chapter, I talked about that, verses 31 to 32. You know, it starts small, and then it grows, and it is really great when it's grown. Now, that's a good part of it. But it's not everything that in that parable that's actually good. So that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches of it. At first, that may look good because it's providing, you know, a safe harbor. It's providing a place, a resting place for the birds. But not all the birds of the air are clean. You know, some are unclean birds and they are all mixed up in there. You know, so most of the time, you know, we have to read deeper into these parables. You know, the parable of the tares and the wheat, Jesus point blank explained that one. In fact, he interpreted the parable. So we don't need to look for any further interpretation because he interpreted it himself. Some of these others, he did not interpret. Today, we're going to talk about self-righteousness and modern day Pharisees. Now, this is not for, this is for us to have a sense of discernment. Because a lot of people don't know what self-righteousness looks like or what the Pharisee spirit looks like. So let's call it out, because God wants to bring us into razor sharpness. Now, as we go into this lesson, let's think about some of the things many times that Jesus spoke against the Pharisees and the scribes. In fact, I'm going to read the entire Matthew 23 in a minute. You know, the entire chapter of Matthew 23. We're going to read through it and break it down. But before I get to that one, let me read first in the book of Luke chapter 18. And here is a parable that we are told that Jesus told, starting at verse 9 of Luke 18. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. That's the definition of self-righteousness. trusting in oneself that one is righteous and at the same time despising others. There is no better definition of self-righteousness than that. So Jesus told this parable to call out this thing. And he said, well, two men went up into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other a publican. Now the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. And that's how he prayed. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, he was so self-conscious and, you know, so self-righteous in this prayer. Listen to this prayer. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican over here. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess, and so on and so forth. Now, let's break that down. Those might not be the words that we speak, but the attitude might still be the same. You know, if we have the attitude that says, well, I remember when we first came many years ago, into this so-called end time message. You know, I'm back in Nigeria in the day. I mean, people were so full of themselves that people would say things like, they call everybody else them bunch, you know, and all that kind of thing. And everybody, you know, say, hey, you know, we are the cream of the crop. We are the elect. We are the elite. We are the this. We are the bride. We are what have you. And I remember back then I used to say, you know, say not to yourselves that you are Abraham's seed and this and that. And you keep not the word of God. God is able of these stones. Raise up, you know, children unto Abraham. You know, I used to say that in the circles where I was. People didn't like that. Because everybody, you know, I mean, everybody was the bride. Everybody was the elect. Everybody was a prophet and an apostle and so on. You know, if you were not around in the circles back then, you may not know what I'm talking about. And if you think that there's a lot of prophets and apostles these days, especially on Clubhouse, you know, I've seen that around my circles in the late 70s and early 80s. Everybody was a prophet. And as a matter of fact, if you became a prophet, because you know, the prophecy of Jean Lead, which Brother Frisbee also wrote about, those of you that follow these writings, in one of his writings called Scroll 51, you know, just because he wrote there, I mean, the lady wrote there and said, you know, God's going to raise up a prophet and the most prophetic generation. As soon as people read that, everybody became a prophet. I mean, we are the most prophetic generation, they said. Everybody became a prophet. And when one person became a prophet, you know, another one had to become an apostle, you know, to be higher than that prophet. There's a lot of stuff that was going on, you know. And I was just looking at it all, you know. But, you see, there is a prideful spirit in all of that. You know, that all that stuff doesn't glorify God at all. You know, because everyone that walks in pride is able to abase. And where are most of those people today? You know, and he that humbles himself, God is able to exalt. You know, so when anytime we have this attitude, it's called the Pharisee attitude, that we are better than others. You look down on people. You think you are the one and the best thing after, you know, since sliced bread or whatever. And, you know, we have our noses stuck up ourselves, you know, and we just, I remember our local church here in Phoenix, GMI Church, when we started this ministry years ago, you know, we were drawn in the spirit to be underprivileged, homeless, and outreach ministry was formed out of that. And many people were stuck up. You know, they didn't care nothing about the homeless. I felt they were better than them. As a matter of fact, when we would bring the homeless to the church, a lot of people were offended, you know, that we would bring them into the service. And some people actually laughed. And they wanted to, you know, if you're going to bring them in, put them in the corner somewhere. You know, why would they even sit among us? You know, so there's an attitude that, and the people who have self-righteous attitude, I'm going to tell you something else about them. They never can see it. There's no way. You know, because they justify themselves. That's why Jesus said in Luke chapter 16, and he said this in verse 15. Yeah, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. You know, but God knoweth your hearts, he said. You justify yourself before men, but God knows your hearts. Well, that's self-righteousness right there. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. And that's a strong word. He didn't even say it's not pleasing to God. It's not pleasing to God might be okay. Well, I mean, not okay, but I mean, might be softer. But he said, no, it's an abomination to God. The things that we think are so highly esteemed, the titles, the accolades, and so forth. And today, we're right back. We've gone full circle. The very stories that we read in the Bible, you know, that people came out of Egypt, you know, but they went around in circles in the wilderness until they all died in the wilderness. The same thing is happening before our eyes right now. People came shouting out of Babylon, then, come out of her, my people, and be not partakers of our sins. I mean, Revelation 18:4 was a popular scripture back then. Come out of her, come out of her, come out of her. Well, the same people that said come out of her, today, have gone right back there. You know, because why? Smite the shepherd and scatter the flock. You know, so, I mean, devil is, you know, knows the scriptures. You know, there were some men of God who were in the forefront of the end time message and so forth. And they were streaking. And when they were streaking, the flock was scattered. Well, that's what the Bible says. Smite the shepherd, scatter the flock. The devil knows that. Take advantage of it. You know, and many people went right back shouting into Babylon. The same Babylon that they used to say, come out of her, my people. And actually, many of those people never had foundation at all. When there is no foundation of the scriptures, some of the things that we're talking about, the sin consciousness and all of that, and the need consciousness, and we just come shouting into, oh, we're the most prophetical generation, you know, and the gifts are breaking out. Well, sure. You know, let me read this to us in Hebrews chapter 6. Those of you who are here, when we read and discussed, read through the Hebrews, and we did the teaching on the book of Hebrews, you might remember this. For the earth which bringeth in the rain that oft comes upon it, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which bringeth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Well, what is this scripture saying? He's saying that the same rain that falls, that makes the good seed to grow, It's the same rain that makes the weed to grow. In fact, if you plant any kind of vegetation or garden or whatever, and you know, when it rains, you'll see that not only will the real plant that you desire flourish, the weeds will also flourish from the same rain. You know, and sometimes even the weeds will flourish even more, especially at the beginning. You know, so you got to go in there and weed out things constantly. Because as soon as it rains, there's weed everywhere. Well, the same rain falls on all the ground. That's what he's saying. But some will bring forth something that's pleasing to the garden dresser. You know, some other part that received the same rain will bring forth thorns. You know, so the same rain. And ladies and gentlemen, you know, it happened then, it's happening again. That's been an outpouring of sorts. You know, so it's been an outpouring. The scripture says, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And that's constantly happening. Peter quoted it 2,000 years ago. It's still happening. The only difference is the true elect, their portion, our portion will be different. You know, everybody will receive this and go shout and so forth. But when we don't hold the oneness of the word, and this was the issue that I had back then in many assemblies, people were just shouting, you know, doing speaking in tongues, and visions and things, and there was no substance. There was no word. They just jump around and things like that. You know, so, and I look back today and I look around, I see many gifts and things and so forth, but there is no real substance sometimes. Now, there are some real gifts, but there are many times, often, no real substance. Many times, a Pharisee thing that's going on. Many times, it's self-righteousness that's going on. When people think that they're better than everybody else. You know, but, you know, they justify themselves among men. We glorify certain things which are an abomination to God. Some of the things that we glorify mostly, especially like on this app, is titles. You know, and even in local churches, titles are glorified too. To be a pastor is a thing, you know, these days. Or to be a prophet is a thing. Or to be an apostle is a thing. I've never seen as many prophets and apostles until I came on this app. Everywhere you turn, somebody, their brother, is a prophet or an apostle. Well, that's all good. If it was truly good. But remember, you know, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Mixed up in there. It's a mixed crowd, it's a mixed multitude. That's how it was when they came out of Egypt. And the purpose of the mixed crowd, they have a purpose too, is to constantly be telling them, let's go back to Egypt. You know, and there were some unclean ones among them, constantly bringing that in. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know, those of us who have been on this journey, let's make sure we don't die in that wilderness. We need to get to the promised land. We must not die in the wilderness. They all came out. The scripture says, let us not be ignorant of these things. You know, how that they all, you know, came out of Egypt. And passed, you know, under the great signs and so forth. First Corinthians chapter 10. Let's read it. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, were all baptized in Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, but they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. But they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things by examples, to the intent that we should not also lust after evil things as they also lusted, and so on and so forth. You know, so now the things that I've said so far this morning were not any of the remarks that I prepared in my mind to say, but the Holy Spirit led me in that direction. But there is a reason and a caution, because it goes along, you know, when people are self-righteous, they let their guard down. They just think that, you know, I've heard people even say back in those days that they know the realm in which they receive. I know the realm in which I receive, you know, and when I receive in that realm, they don't even need to carry a Bible. They didn't need to check anything out in the Word of God. They knew the realm in which they received. So their gift, they thought, was more important or even above the Word of God. Well, you know, and the things that they highly estimate among themselves, highly esteemed, they became an abomination to God. And at the end of it all, it was Ichabod. The glory had departed. And God said, well, they are rejected by the Supreme Judge. Hallelujah. And this rejection over and over and over and over again. Every time God starts something good, the devil gets in there and people don't have their senses exercised. They allow the devil to foul it up and God rejects it and shuts it down. And this is why we've been dancing around in circles for centuries. And we're still here. Dancing around in circles. So God starts something good. You know, it goes good for a while. Eventually, the wisdom of man sets in and they foul it up. And then, you know, people start somehow to begin to think, you know, that they are the thing and that they are all that, you know. And when people start to think that they are all that and have no regard for the Word of God, there is a Pharisee spirit that comes in here at that time. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's see some of the things that Jesus said to the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23. Let's read through it and let's break it down. Self-righteousness, I mean, there was no group better than the Pharisees, you know, in doing that, because they thought they were better than everybody else. They went around with their phylacteries, we are told, their flowing gowns and everything. And they look pious, look better than everybody else. You know, and they look down their noses on others. And before you knew it, that thing rubbed off on many. You know, it began to rub off on people who were around them, even priests and Levites. The story that Jesus told in Luke chapter 10, you know, the Levite and the priest that passed by the wounded man left him there. Well, the Pharisee spirit already rubbed off on those ones because they thought they were better than that guy. Why, you know, you know, you should have stayed in Jerusalem. You know, why, what's your business going towards Jericho? Well, you fell among thieves. Well, you got what you deserve. And they just walked away. They left the man wounded like that. Well, let's read Matthew chapter 23. Jesus spake to the multitude and to his disciples. He said, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. See, right away, you see that they like to usurp places that they don't belong. You know? And so Jesus said, look, all therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But don't do after their works, because they say and they do not. So again, any person that purports to be any kind of spiritual leader, or I would say religious leader, because I don't think they're spiritual if they say and they'll do. You know, but if they say and don't do, and then already they are a Pharisee. For they bind heavy burdens. Now, this is the part of self-righteousness that I want to talk about. They bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move anything with one of their fingers. But they bring all these rules you know, and everything like that, and keep people, you know, just burdened with guilt and everything, and make people feel even worse. I mean, if they did anything wrong, they put it on their face. I mean, there are people, I mean, people are victims of all kinds of scenarios. I mean, there are well-meaning people that love the Lord with all their hearts. But, you know, they've been through divorce. Now, the religious leaders today in the churches would never let them hear the end of it. And every day they throw it in their face. You know, now, are we building when we are doing that, or are we tearing down? You know, how many times that we have heard people say that and just throw it in their faces? But ladies and gentlemen, let me say it to you this way. If you were, if you've been through divorce or any such thing, whatever other thing that you've been through, you know, the Lord today is opened his arms wide to receive you. This is one of the reasons why we dealt with that lesson yesterday. I mean, or one of the things we dealt with. Same conscience. Don't let any of that put you down, you know, and don't listen to anybody that tried to bring that over your head. That was then, but this is now. There's life after all of that. And it could be something else too, you know, but this is so much in the house. There's such a stigma that people, you know, put on people and so on, which ought not to be. Heavy burdens, grievous to be borne, lay upon people's shoulders. And they say, I won't touch it. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries, you know, these are all the, you know, flowing gowns and everything. Enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues. You know, look around today and see if you can find, spot some. Here's an exercise for us. Look around, see if you can spot some, you know, Pharisee spirit. You know, if you can spot it, when you go to your local church, see if you can spot it. Yeah, look for those who always want to be known of everybody. Look for those who want to sit, you know, in the best seats or be, you know, in the high places. There are many churches today where you go, you know, there's special chairs actually carved out for the ministers. Their chairs look different than every one of the others. And they got these chairs that look like thrones. And that's where they sit. Everybody else sits in regular chairs. They sit in these special chairs because they are special people. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that people couldn't tell Jesus apart from his disciples? They couldn't tell him apart. I mean, you have to be in the inner circle. He dressed just like them. He did not stand out. He did not look, you know, any differently. Of course, you know, inwardly, he was very, very different. Inwardly, he had the full character of God. Outwardly, he just looked like the rest of them, just dressed the same way. They couldn't even tell him apart. Judas had to go, you know, give him a plan and a signal. When I go up, the one that I go kiss on the cheek, that will be the one. Because they couldn't tell him apart. He looked just like them. You know, of course, you can tell these ones, these modern day Pharisees, apart. Very easily. Check it out for yourself. You know, love the uppermost rooms at feasts. What does that really mean? That means they love to be acknowledged. If they come in and you don't acknowledge them and then call their name, they're not coming. You know, and some spiritual leaders today, if there is an event, you know, or I shouldn't say spiritual, I should say religious. Religious leaders today, church leaders, there's an event, they're invited, they won't even come to grace the place unless they are the chief speaker or unless they are the one that, you know, they must acknowledge them when they come in there. Well, it's Pharisee spirit. Chief seats in the synagogues. Greetings in the markets. We'll be called rabbi, you know, Pastor. But we all love it. You know, it has a feeling too. And they call you pastor. It's a good feeling. You know, but be careful now. You know, and then, you know, a prophet or man of God or woman of God or this and that, you know, all these titles that we love to use. Yeah, sometimes it's accurate. But most of the times it's not accurate. I mean, one time they challenged Paul and said, look, we don't think you're an apostle. And Paul said, look, if I'm not an apostle to others, doubtless I am to you. For the signs of an apostleship, you know, in me were wrought among you. And so on. And if you had 10,000 instructors, you have not that many fathers. Because I, through the gospel, have begotten you. And he had to start defending himself. Well, you know, sometimes it's appropriate, sometimes it's not. But the point is this. Here's how you detect these Pharisee spirits. People who love acclaim. You know, love to be greeted, love to be pronounced as such, love to be introduced as such, you know. And he said, called rabbi. He said, don't be called rabbi, he said. But one is your master, even Christ. Now remember, God is trying to prune us into more accurate shape, into razor sharpness. Be not called rabbi. Be not do all of these things. Don't even call anybody father. This and that. I mean, Jesus is just trying to make them, you know, walk in humility. Don't be called masters. For even one is your master who is Christ. For he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. If you don't see this thing, if you are in a local, it's harder to see when you are online. But if you are in a local assembly, it's easier to see. If religious leaders only like to be above the people and don't like to serve, then you can begin to detect the Pharisee spirit right there. You know. But Jesus gives a warning here. If you want to be great among the people, he said, be the servant of the people. But oh no, not in today's religious systems. You know. The leader going to be a servant? Are you kidding me? That's not going to happen. It's about the people. How in the world is going to be a servant to the people? You know, but these are the things that Jesus taught. For whosoever shall exalt himself, the Lord said, shall be abased. You know, and why is it that people continue in wrongdoing? Because it seems as if the Lord doesn't carry out swift judgment. That's what the Bible says. People continue doing the wrong thing for a long time. But the Lord gives us a long rope. But one day, one day is one day, you know. The word, not a single word in this Bible will fall to the ground without being fulfilled. Everyone that exalts himself, they may get away with it forever, it seems. But one day, they will be abased. It's just that simple. And everyone that humbles himself, they may look like, you know, they are nothing for a long time. Forever, it may even seem sometimes. But one day, they will be exalted. But that's what the scripture says. And it will never fail. Because it's the word of God. He said, look, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that in due time, you may be exalted. Now, so he begins to call out these Pharisees. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. You neither go in, neither will you let them enter in. That's very deep. Kingdom of God. They won't even know. You know, the teachings are something different. They themselves won't go in. They won't let others go in. Scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, you devour widows' houses. And for a pretense, make long prayer. You know, Jesus also in Matthew 6, he was talking about making long, ostentatious, show kind of prayer. Stand in the corners of, you know, places and pray, you know, long prayer. You know, so that people know that you can pray. If the spirit behind that is so that people know how well you can pray, and that's already a Pharisee spirit. Now, I'm not talking about a prayer meeting now. And a prayer meeting, yeah, we must pray. You got to pour out your heart to God. You got to, you know, I mean, you got to be passionate. You got to get a hold of God. You got to give him no rest. We understand that. But I'm just talking about, you know, it's casual things. You know, people just like to show off. That's what Jesus is talking about here. And he said, look, you know, they make long prayer. You know, but yet their life doesn't match. They're doing evil things in secret. Said they shall receive the greater damnation. You know, they say, but meanwhile, they think they're better than everybody else. And say unto, you know, you Pharisees and scribes, hypocrites, you compass land and sea, to make one proselyte. You know, they are more concerned about followers and members that follow them, you know, than for somebody to be a citizen of the kingdom. And not interested in preaching citizenship, they're just interested in amassing membership and followership. Well, Jesus warned and said, at the end of the day, you make them even twice the child of hell than even yourselves. Serious warnings. Blind guides. You swear, you know, by different things. I call out there, all they are swearing. You know, they swear by the temple. They swear by the gold. They swear by the altar. They swear by this. And you just setting them straight on that. Let me skip through that. You know, and here he says, you know, even hypocrites, verse 23, they pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. This ye ought to have done, and not to have left the other undone. Jesus didn't condemn tithing. He said, well, you know, you can do that. Don't leave that undone. But these ones are even heavier matters of the law. You know, judgment, mercy, faith. You know, now he talks about, you know, here is the another aspect of the Pharisee spirit. Strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. You know, you see the log. I mean, you see the mote in your brother's eye, but there's a log in your own eye. You won't see that. Remove that first. What's in your eye? Then you see clearly. You know, they strain at a gnat. You know, something that is so tiny, like one of these ants. Very tiny. And then they swallow a camel. Make a big deal, a mountain out of a molehill. I mean, somebody does something little, they're going to crucify them for that. But they themselves, they will condone even bigger things in their own lives. For they're always trying to show a false side of who they are. You know, he talks about, you know, he says, you clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but inside you're full of extortion and excess. You know, so when you take a cup, you wash the outside, but the inside is dirty. That's what Jesus is saying. This is the Pharisee spirit. He even said that, look, ye are like unto whited sepulchres. You know, you look at this, you go to the graveyard, and they beautify. They put headstones. Sometimes they put marble. Sometimes they put granite. Sometimes they put flame. They put all kinds of things. They decorate those. But inside, what's inside? Dead men's bones, stinking bones. And Jesus said, yeah, you're just like that. You whitewash the outside, make everything look good. But on the inside, you're ravening wolves. You know, my goodness. You look like sheep. Wolves in sheep clothing, but inside you are really ravening wolves. He told them. And he said, look, you know, you're the ones that build the tombs of the prophets, garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. And he said, look, if we had been there in the days of our fathers, we would not have done those things. And he said, well, wherefore you are witnesses to yourselves that you are children of those that killed the prophets. And I told them, look, you're just like your fathers. Serpents, a generation of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell? I mean, this is serious thing. If Jesus is saying this Pharisee spirit might lead to damnation of hell, people better take heed. He said, wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets, this and that and so forth. And they killed them. They did all kinds of things. And Jesus said, look, from the days of Abel, whom Cain killed, until everything that you've done, all the blood that you have shed of righteous people, so it's going to be upon your head, you know, and so on. Now, what is this Pharisee spirit? It's all the things we've discussed here. Keep your eyes open to be able to discern and see. Here's another Pharisee, a depiction of the Pharisee spirit and self-righteousness. When you think, you know, just the appearance to men is what matters. Doesn't really matter what is behind the scenes. Jesus said in the book of Revelation, remember, in that book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, Jesus told John to write these things to the seven churches that are in Asia Minor. And in verse chapter 3, verse 1, he says, unto the church in Sardis, write, these things saith he that had the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I call him the seven star general. I know thy works. Thou hast a name that thou livest, but you are dead. That's another Pharisee spirit right there. You look good on the outside, big brother, big sister, and all what have you. You know, but inside, just full of hypocrisy. Vain glory is another sign of the Pharisee spirit. You know, all they do, Jesus said, for to be seen of men. It's a Pharisee spirit. They look good on the outside, but they are dead. Remember the story in Mark chapter 11? When Jesus saw that fig tree afar off. Well, what triggered Jesus? What do you think triggered Jesus cursing the tree? Because the tree was pretentious. That tree was pretentious. It had leaves. It looked green. It looked good from afar off. You know, and you know, some of the leaves were even clustered around. Might look like he's got something going. And so Jesus came there. Jesus was just acting naturally here. He came there because you look good from outside. He came to it. Now, if that tree had been withered, had no leaves, from afar off, it looked dead already. Jesus wouldn't even have come there expecting to find something. But he had the appearance that he had something going on. You know, he said, that's what he says here. You have the appearance that you have a name, a big brother, a big sister, a pastor, a prophet, a this, but inside, you got something else going. How do we have the spirit of discernment to know these things? You know, so Jesus came to the tree. So they didn't have any fruit. And Jesus warned us also and gave us instruction. By their fruit, you will know them. What kind of fruit are they bearing? Well, Jesus came to this one. He wasn't even bearing any fruit at all. You know, but it looked like he would have something going. It was green, leaves, and everything. And when Jesus got there, I said, my goodness, where is the fruit? And what are you doing here? Then you're done. You're not bringing forth fruit for the master, so you're done. Nobody will love you anymore. That's it. But you see, it had the appearance, you know, that it was, had something going. You know, that's a hypocritical spirit. You know, that's a Pharisee spirit at best. The modern day Pharisees, you can spot them if you have discernment through these things that we have spoken about. Especially when they are more self-righteous than others. That's number one sign. You know, and you want to get away from that thing because that rubs off on people. Before you know it, you yourself will start behaving like that. If you're hanging around religious leaders that do that, you know, so get away from those things that do not please the Lord. Self-righteousness makes people think, I mean, that they are the ones that are accepted by God and everybody else is not in place. When the priests and the Levites were allowed to go into the first tabernacle, they told everybody else, you're not good enough to come in here. You can't come in here. You know, you're not good enough. That's what they, you know, tried to tell David. We covered that yesterday. You can't go in there and eat that bread. You're not good enough. They themselves that are in there, they think they're better than everybody else. Again, that's self-righteousness. Nobody is better than anybody. We are all by the grace of God. I mean, if the Lord has cleansed you and forgiven you, then you ought to show the same mercy and compassion to others. Many people, after the Lord has forgiven them, they forget. You know, that they once were injurious. They once were murderers, adulterers, fornicators, or what have you. You know, and now all of a sudden, better than everybody else. That's a Pharisee spirit. Today, the body of Christ needs healing. And self-righteousness is not going to do it. The self-righteous Pharisee spirit, they just leave people wounded like that. Read their story in Luke chapter 10. The Levite came by, saw the wounded man, left him like that. The priest came by, saw the wounded man, left him like that. And they won't have no concern at all for the wounded. But there's a lot of wound that needs to be healed. But only the stranger would get off his high horse, get down and bind up their wounds. Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord is calling us our attention. Have your senses exercised to discern good and evil. You owe no allegiance to any man except to the Lord. You know, nobody has a right to lord it over anyone and think that they are better than anyone else. If your faith is put in the Lord and what he did, that's all you need. Now, of course, we have true leaders. Not all leaders are like this. We have true leaders, but there's always been the false vine. From the beginning, the tree of life was right there. And right next to it, it wasn't exactly called out to be the tree of death. You know, if it was a tree of death, yeah, that would be very clear. But it was a tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's always like that. It's always couched in there. But it's right next to the tree of pure life. And so it's always been like that. Jesus said, let them both grow together until the end. Even among these disciples, there was Judas. And Jesus said, have I not chosen 12 of you and one is a devil? It's always been like that. And it will always be like that. If you think that you are going to, you know, clean house, it's not going to happen until the very end. Let them both grow together. But it's our responsibility to have discernment. Ladies and gentlemen, anywhere you see a self-righteous spirit, it's a dangerous thing. You know, they are like a viper coiled up waiting to strike. They're dangerous. They have no business caring for the body of Christ, but only to strike. Now, the three things that we have spoken since yesterday. Sin consciousness, which we have to take heed to. And even though the Lord's calling us out of sin, then we must know that we can't continue in sin that grace may abound. Can't go keep going back there. That would be the spirit of that dog that's gone back to his vomit. And outside the holy city are dogs. Dogs not going to make it in. Now, that's the one thing. The other thing was need consciousness, which is also preventing us from a closer experience of the Lord. We covered that yesterday. And today, finally, I'm covering this self-righteousness. Anytime we see that, get away from it. But don't let it be even in you yourself. See how you can recognize it and desist from that same spirit. Let not that same spirit come upon you. You know, and anytime we are quick to judge, quick to put others down, and think that, you know, we are better than them because we know their fault and they don't know our own, and then we think we are better, And that's a self-righteous spirit right there. Jesus told this parable because of those who thought within themselves that they were righteous and they despised others. That's a pure definition of self-righteousness. Think that you got it and then you look down on everybody else. May the Lord help us today and give us this understanding. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to leave it right there. Tomorrow, by the grace of God, we're going to talk about in his image, the true likeness of Christ. You know, now that we've dealt with sin consciousness, and we've dealt with need consciousness, and we've dealt with self-righteousness. So we're never going to be able to do it on our own. Remember the Pharisee, he prayed within himself. Hey, look, I fast twice a week. I do this, I do that. You know, anytime people brag of, you know, what they are, think they are doing for the Lord, that's a Pharisee spirit right there. Oh, you know, I'm a great preacher. I'm a great, you know, I know how to break down the word. Or I'm a great prayer warrior. Or I'm a great soul winner. Or whatever it is that you think you're doing better than anybody else, and you look down on others who are not doing it quite as well, that's a Pharisee spirit right there. I fast twice a week. I do all of these things and so forth. I'm not like others. You know, I get up and pray in the middle of the night. I know how to break down this word. You know, I can teach the word. I can preach. I'm a powerful speaker. I can prophesy. I can do these things. You know, I'm a great soul winner. And others are not. You know, on and on and on and on. That's a Pharisee spirit. Let's watch out for that. You know, now that we have dealt with sin consciousness, need consciousness, and a self-righteousness, it is time for us to move on to the image and likeness of the Christ, which is what we will be talking about by the grace of God tomorrow. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is our lesson today. And I pray that the Lord will help us, every one of us, you know, as God is trying to prune, as God is trying to cut. Remember what I read? Elect will be called into position by the Spirit. And he's doing something to bring us into razor sharpness, perfecting us in his will by the Spirit of the Lord. So, but we must press toward the mark of the high calling. You know, we must keep pressing in. Destination is the most holy place. We can't stop in the outer court. The light is too dim there. We can't even stop in the holy place because, you know, well, there's still all these other things, excesses of give me this, give me that. You know, we must press into the most holy place where all the things of the flesh have been burnt off. Remember, flesh and blood can't get in there. We inherit the kingdom of God. Burn all those things off, excesses. This is what God is trying to do for us now. Through these lessons, burn those things off. Bring us into razor sharpness. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.